Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Portland, Oregon, where a new storm is threatening to compound the misery for more than 72,000 customers who still have no power after a series of storms over the weekend. Correspondent Jared Hill reports.
This morning, the Pacific Northwest, already battered by winter weather, is bracing for a potentially dangerous ice storm.
Nothing's worse than ice on the road. That's pretty much the scariest kind of condition we can get on the roads.
Oregon officials closed 47 miles of I-84 due to the threat of ice. This week's winter wallop plunged much of the country into a deep freeze, grinding air travel to a halt Tuesday.
More than 1,400 flights in the U.S. are canceled or delayed so far today. Just in, troubling new findings on cancer. After decades of declining rates, a study released by the American Cancer Society this hour finds colon cancer is now the leading cause of cancer death for men under 50 and the second for women in the same age group. The research shows breast cancer is also on the rise in younger adults. Missed screenings during the pandemic may be to blame. The top Republican presidential contenders have moved on from the Iowa caucuses to New Hampshire, rallying supporters in Atkinson. Former President Trump took a verbal shot at Nikki Haley.
You'd almost think she won. She came in third, and she lost to not a particularly great candidate, obviously, as you've seen. She lost to somebody that beat her by about 2.5 points, Ron DeSanctimonious.
DeSantis at a stop in Greenville, South Carolina.
Nikki Haley said only the top two from Iowa, you know, go on to be viable. Well, guess what? We punched our ticket out of Iowa.
Polls show Mr. Trump ahead in New Hampshire, but not by nearly as much as Iowa, where he won the caucuses with more than 50% of the vote. New information on Defense Secretary Austin's secret hospitalization. CBS News has obtained the 911 call placed by an associate.
Can the ambulance not show up with lights and sirens? We're trying to remain a little subtle.
Austin was rushed to Walter Reed with complications from prostate cancer surgery, which was also not disclosed. He's back home now. A shipment of medicine arranged by France and Qatar is headed to hostages held by Hamas. The BBC's Yolande Nell.
We understand that they will be transferred across to Gaza. In exchange, we understand Hamas has accepted that there will be a big increase in the number of medicines allowed in for Palestinian civilians suffering in Gaza.
Discount grocer is getting greener.
This is how I got Patrick to switch to Aldi.
Aldi getting rid of its plastic bag option at checkout. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Republicans voted to fire another one of Governor Evers' appointees Tuesday, this time Tyler Huebner of the state's Public Service Commission. Evers is appointing Christy Nieto to take his place. Senate Republicans have fired 8 of Evers' appointees since last fall. The keynote speaker at this year's State of Wisconsin Martin Luther King Day celebration says he wants the promise of justice one day to happen now.
It is ridiculous that people are attacking diversity, equity, and inclusion, but refuse to implement laws to remove guns from the hands of those who continue to shoot innocent children in schools and malls and even in faith places.
The Reverend Marcus Allen is a Baptist minister in Madison. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers lose in an upset. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had not lost to a Big Ten opponent until they faced Penn State and Kane Clary.
Shot clock down to 10, game clock at 44. Clary drives by Wall, pulls, pops, good off the glass. He has been spectacular. Penn State up 6, 34 seconds to play.
Matt LePay with the call. Clary finished with 29 points on the way to an 87-83 win for Penn State over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously the turnovers. I thought early, right from the start, we just got a little frenzied, and that gave them confidence as they were able to jump out to that lead that we can never quite get back where we felt we could get in control of it.
The Badgers host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers will be without backup outside linebacker Kingsley Enagbare after he suffered a knee injury against the Cowboys. Rookie Lucas Van Ness will have to step up as a pass rusher against the 49ers this Saturday night.
I think the more he plays, the better he gets.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 9 for a high this afternoon. It's still cold. The wind chill will be well below zero here for a good chunk of the day today. Tonight down to 4 below. Tomorrow a little sun early, then cloudy. High of 9 above. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On a very frozen Lake Wissota on this Wednesday, January 17th, welcome back. Coming up later this hour, Senator Jeff Smith reacts to the latest Republican attack on Governor Evers' appointees. He also gives us details on two different ways that legislators can be more responsive to the voters instead of to political parties. Smith is part of one group that just submitted a proposed new map to end gerrymandering, and he's sponsoring a bill to let voters choose multiple candidates in a race and rank them in order of preference. We'll talk to Jimmy Koska, who will preview the state conference for Wisconsin school board members. We will visit with Todd Alba, and we've got meteorologist Brittany Merlot here and Greg Bach as well. On a Wednesday morning that is getting off to a very cold start, as evidenced by, comments on Facebook by Rob here, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's -4. But looking back at weather history, there were also lows in the minus 30s in 1972, 1982, and 1994. Yeah, we definitely get those cold spells in here. He says, I'm into weather history from the days when my family farm was always talking about events and weather trends on the farm. And Rob, we thank you for writing in on that. And also to Curtis, who wished us good morning from Eagle River, Wisconsin. You can put your comments on Facebook either through Civic Media or through Up North News. You can also call or text us at 844-967-2789. Always nice to get a text from where you're listening from and any questions or comments about the show that you might have. 7 a.m. temperatures at 8 past the hour look like this. It's 2 above right here in Chippewa Falls, 2 above in Hayward. Park Falls is at -1. So is Wausau. Green Bay is at -2. La Crosse at 0 degrees Fahrenheit right now. Wisconsin Rapids -5. Oshkosh -4. Madison is 0. And it is 4 below down around Mr. Bach's very chilly feet there in the Waukesha studio. You stepped in a snowbank again. How do you do this?
Again?
Well,
he did not.
Yeah, okay, he did it again.
You know what? Okay, both of you, pipe down. All right. I had made a trail for myself. Pat, I'm talking. I had made a trail for myself, and I thought I was in the clear, and apparently I wasn't, and I stepped in more snow, and my stop it. I stepped in more snow, and now my socks are wet, and my shoes are wet, and my pants are wet. So I'm going home for the rest of the day.
Thank you for the laughs this early in the morning.
You know what we need is you need a wood stove in there, a little like pot-bellied stove where you can put your socks and get them all nice and warm and toasty dry again. We're looking for ways to
run pedals underneath the desk to run the radio station because it's an old-time station.
All right, Brittany's going to tell us about how much longer is this going to last, Brittany, all these below zero temperatures?
I know, it's been rough. We're through the worst of it, though. The worst of the wind chills have passed. Right now, the winds are actually pretty calm, thankfully, but still creating some values into Fond du Lac, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids. You are feeling like 20 to 25 below right now, but a good chunk of the state is feeling more like negative 15. So as we go through our day today, we are going to warm things up to above zero. Yeah, finally. Ooh. Single digits into the Northwoods, double digits into the low teens down into the southern portions of the state today. But with winds still a little feisty at 15 miles per hour this afternoon, that's going to make it feel more like below zero for a good chunk of the day. But we will start to feel our actual temperatures by tomorrow. We've got some more clouds starting to build in, so a little bit cloudier than the past few days. And the clouds are our friend in these situations, especially at night. They act as a blanket, right? If they cover the sky, they keep the warmth in, they lock it in just like blankets do. So we'll welcome the clouds to warm us up, and southerly winds by the weekend really crank us up into temperatures flirting with the 40s. By next week.
Wait. What?
Yeah,
40s?
I know.
Within the next few days?
It's Wisconsin. If you don't like the weather now, just wait a day and it's going to change, right?
I'm seriously surprised about this. Yes, that is some very good news.
I did have a question for you,
like
Brittany.
It.
I had a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
When you talked like last week, you were speaking on the importance of the ice forming for events as well as, you know, just good environmental practices. Has it been cold enough for long enough now where they have the ice they need that's helping whomever is necessary?
I'm hoping so. I know that I've seen a lot of pictures coming in right now from Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, that sea smoke. Have you guys seen that? It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things when it does get this cold. So that is the water making ice, right? That's what's happening. So I know I haven't checked a lot of the ice conditions out on the Great Lakes, but the shorelines are starting to freeze up. I'm assuming inland lakes as well, but it's temporary. I'm worried how thick did it get and how fast, because by next week, 40s, rain, ice.
I mean, everybody on a case by case basis, and to be so extra careful on this because we've already seen it was mostly in central Minnesota where people were being downright goofy and being caught out on ice floes when they were trying to go out fishing before the ice was sufficiently thick enough, and we don't want to see any of that. We've already seen tragedy from thin ice, and we just need everybody to never assume and to be extremely careful on these things. Because, it's getting super cold, but hey, it doesn't take much for those 40s to weaken things all over again.
Absolutely. And you've got the currents and the different turbulent eddies underneath the water. You don't know exactly where it's warm. So bring that ice pick. Check the depth everywhere if you're going to go out.
Very good advice, meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, thank you again. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too. Stay warm.
All right. Sounds great. It is exactly 7:13 right now here on Up North News Radio. And let's see, we've got from Greg. Blind Greg says, good morning from Waukesha, a.k.a. The Shaw. And he is hibernating inside today. We think that is a very good strategy for anybody who can do it.
Yes.
It is definitely one of those days where I get teased about the, you never have to go outside when you work from home. Like, yeah, because I joke all summer about Sherry having to push me outside going, go out and play, go get some fresh air. But now I look like the smart one. Like, who wants fresh air if it's going to hurt your face, right?
Oh, it hurts your face so much, Pat.
It does, and I don't miss that one bit. Our daily newsletter from Up North News is out, and today it includes a story about the Great Dane Brewery, a chain of brew pubs in the Madison area, opening a location in Japan. That and so much more can be found over on our homepage. You can sign up for the newsletter there at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News being a separate entity from Civic Media, but also, as always, thankful to be a part of it all. Up North News, rather, is the digital outlet for Courier Newsroom. We have outlets in several other states. Just started an outlet in New Hampshire, just in time to cover the primary out there. And by the way, Courier Newsroom has a new podcast. It's called Vibes Only, where hosts Brian Derrick and Glenys Mahar call out the BS that is skewing how Americans feel about the economy and about democracy itself. So head over to couriernewsroom.com and you can find out how to get on that podcast. You can also find out how to subscribe to newsletters that have all kinds of great reporting from show guests like Kia Vakil, Mark Jacob, Carolyn Fiddler, and much more. We'd love to have you check out everything that we do over at couriernewsroom.com. And one last note from Greg on Facebook. Tell Greg Bach, I love his hairdo today. Well, now I got to bring the camera back.
Thanks,
up here.
Greg.
Take a look. Let's see what do we got here. What do you call that? I call it what headphones will do to you at 7 in the morning.
Darn right.
I like how...
Darn right.
Did you hear all that while you were taking the headphones off to show us your hair? Yeah. What it was? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Don't take it personally. You have fans out there.
Fun fact, Greg and I have known each other for about 25 years.
All right. You have somebody obligated to say nice things about you now.
Why can't you just let a compliment stand?
That's a wonderful compliment. Now go write out that $5 Venmo and send it to him like you promised you would. Let's look at sports. Now some sports coming up on 7:16 here. The Bucks play tonight in Cleveland against the Cavaliers, and you can catch that game on a few Civic Media radio stations here. They include WRCE in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls to catch the Bucks tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The 11th-ranked Badger men's basketball team lost last night at Penn State 87-83. That means the Big Ten no longer has any unbeaten teams as Wisconsin drops to 5-1. The Badgers will host Indiana on Friday night at the Kohl Center, and the Badger women's basketball team was thumped by second-ranked Iowa last night by a score of 96-50. Big part of what we've been talking about today deals with the ongoing power play by legislative Republicans who are doing all they can to try to operate in parts of government where the people did not elect them. And another example of that was seen yesterday in Republicans in the state Senate firing a member of the Public Service Commission, not for any malfeasance, not aware of any pending criminal charges against this person, but because they don't like the governor and they don't like some of what his appointees are doing. But that's the whole notion of having gubernatorial appointees. You, the voters, made your choices in each of these elections as to who would be your legislator in the legislative branch, who would be the governor in the executive branch. Governors and presidents appoint members of their own cabinet. There is an advise and consent role from the Senate if there's, again, some kind of a glaring error or red flag about a nominee, but not because you don't like them. That is just simply raising a big middle finger to the will of the voters, and that's something Senate Republicans are continuing to do. Now, again, this is not an isolated thing. You had everything from the way that right-wing justices affected the 2000 election, Bush v. Gore. You had the way that Republicans in the Senate denied President Obama Supreme Court nominees. You now have people supporting Trump talking about this Project 2025 plan that would turn an independent civil service into a whole bunch of political appointees. In all cases, whatever you think of where Republicans stand on certain economic positions, it's worth your while to find out where they stand on positions related to American democracy and whether they still believe in it or not. And we'll talk more about that with Senator Jeff Smith in just a few minutes. But coming up next, we'll be joined by Jimmy Koska, who is a school board member and heading to a statewide conference today. So we'll talk in our homeroom segment about some of the issues that are going to be discussed this week. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a bit.
This is 93.5 The Tap. What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network, locally in Racine, on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pregame at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
We've got a bit of a Bengals theme going on this morning because Susanna Hoffs turns 65 years old today. You can catch our daily history lesson and other musical milestones every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Jimmy Costa is joining us now, complete with a hello from listener Greg, who puts a hi, Jimmy, right on there. So, you know, people already anticipate your appearances, Jimmy, and look forward to them. How are you?
Well, that's great to hear. I'm doing great. Here in Milwaukee, getting ready for the Education Convention, which begins here in 40 minutes.
Yeah, I see that. I called up the page for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. They have a convention page about what's going on at the Baird Center in Milwaukee with a countdown clock of days, hours. Now it's down to 38 minutes and 49 seconds. So apparently they're very excited about getting together in Milwaukee, and what kinds of things are they talking about? Is this something, let me back up a step. Have you been to, I guess it's WASB, the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Have you been to WASB conventions before?
Yes, actually, I'm our alternate on our school board for all the things that they do with school boards around the state, at the school district that I'm on the school board for. But I was here last year for this convention and learned quite a bit. I made sure to pack in sessions on things I didn't know a lot about, a lot of it relating to how schools are financed. And because that's an area I'm not good with my own money. My wife is in mortgaging, so she does our finances. But I had to learn about it because I'm on a school board and I'm trusted to know these things. So I dove into that last year. This year, a lot of the themes are really spread out into a few key areas. School funding is obviously a very big issue. In the era of declining enrollment and soon the end of federal funding, the ESSER funding from COVID, a lot of schools are going to operational referenda. In fact, chances are probably a 1 in 4 chance the district that you live in Wisconsin is planning a referendum right now. In fact, 7 districts have one on the ballot next month in February during the primary. So that's one of the big themes. Obviously, hiring, retention, things like that, with a shortage of teachers, et cetera, that's a big theme this year as well. And of course, as always, school safety. So those are some of the topics that I'll be trying to learn more about here the next 3 days.
And any time that there's this discussion on how we pay for schools, and God bless every new school board member, because, I mean, talk about walking right into the maelstrom and having to learn the super complex way that we pay for schools in Wisconsin is so much more complex than it needs to be. And so people will ask simple questions that frankly don't have simple answers. And I'll give you an example. They'll say, wait, school districts got all this federal pandemic aid a couple of years ago. And now that, you know, money is running out, and wasn't it supposed to be one-time aid? How can there be a problem? But again, it's so much more complex with how the aid was delivered, whether it could go to its intended purposes, when you had, say, Republican legislators who continue to put limits and handcuffs on how school boards can spend their revenue.
You know, and a big issue with schools, what they're facing funding-wise, you know, the declining enrollment is a big piece of it. And that's really how school, that's the basically the baseline in any formula to fund public schools is how many kids do you have in schools. And well, what we're finding and what you're seeing, what they're reporting, and what we'll probably hear about a lot the next few days is, well, where are they going? Well, a lot of them are You know, they're going to virtual or they're going to charter or private schools. Some of them aren't going to school at all. They're opting for homeschooling. And famously, the DPI is saying, well, there's a gap of kids. We just don't know what they're doing. So there's an issue with declining enrollment. And part of that's tied to just an overall declining population. Not as many kids are being born with things. So that's part of that formula. But, you know, the other part of it is just how funding is appropriated by the budget process. And yes, the per pupil did, you know, increase, of course, with Governor Evers' partial line item veto. But when it was all said and done, 40% of districts actually see less state aid. And a lot of that is based in just the declining enrollment.
And when it comes to declining enrollment, it's important to note one of the first things they taught us as legislators was, you know, let's say you had, 40 kids on the bus. But again, because of declining enrollment, you know, fewer people live somewhere. Now there's only 36 kids on the bus. Or in a classroom, you know, there were 25 kids, but now there's 22. Well, you can't cut, you know, that fraction, you can't cut 3/40 of the price of gasoline for the school bus. It's still going to cost the same amount for the school bus. You can't cut, you know, 3/25 of the teacher's salary. The teacher is still going to get paid whether there's 25 kids or 22 kids in there. And yet that's kind of the way we're set up in Wisconsin, is that, you know, declining enrollment dings the district, even though a lot of their fixed costs remain fairly constant.
And in fact, a lot of those fixed costs increase, you know, especially through the pandemic, a lot of those things actually increase. We actually passed a referendum last year, and they said that if we had passed this referendum pre-pandemic, it would have been that the cost increased in just 4 years by about 30% for materials. So, you know, the costs are going up regardless, and schools are trying to offer the same programming, same services. But, you know, schools have tough decisions to make. Last spring, our last time we had a referendum on the ballots, there were two school districts in North Central Wisconsin that had to go to an operational referendum to keep the doors open, saying that if they didn't pass these, that they'd start the consolidation process into other districts. And that's not good for local taxpayers either. You know, now you're talking about increased travel. You're talking about, you know, moving kids, you know, splitting one district and being absorbed by its neighbors. It's a long multi-year process, and it ultimately results in higher taxes for everybody. So when people say, well, you know, if the school district's so expensive and we can't afford it, well, maybe we just don't have one and it consolidates. And that's not a conversation that legislators necessarily want to have or suggest, but that's kind of the reality facing schools, especially now when you look and you see how many are planning a referendum. Next week is the deadline to get on that April ballot. And I have anecdotally heard that over 100 districts are at least considering a referendum right now.
Yeah, that is going to be the focus of next week's homeroom segment, is how many referendums will be on that April ballot with that deadline that's approaching. And again, for all the complexities and the challenges involved, that would be enough if you had a legislature that was focused on supporting public education. But when you don't, it just makes that job that much tougher. But getting back to the conference here, as I'm looking at all of the various breakout sessions, it again helps to underscore the importance of having good people on school boards who want to take a comprehensive view of the issues in their district. Some people get on a board and say, well, I'm just here to cut taxes. Well, then you're doing nothing for the kids or for the community. And you look at some of these things like the importance of local communication, creating a culture of wellness, topics in special education, keeping people safe in severe weather, First Amendment issues like guns on t-shirts and prayers by coaches, shifting from contracted bus services to district-owned bus services. There really is a lot that goes into being on a school board that, again, no one person can come in as an expert, but you have to be willing to appreciate the role and be willing to learn, Jimmy.
Yeah, and that's really why I dove into this head first. This is my second year on a school board, the second year I'm at the convention, and I really try to go for topics that maybe I don't know a lot about. But the other part of it is I'm going to a lot of topics, too, that deal with communication, community involvement, community engagement, things that I'm actually kind of good at because that's my role in media. And I'm trying to find strategies that work and apply it on a school level because, that you know, on a school board, my role isn't necessarily to communicate on behalf of the school, but I do represent the school, especially, you know, in this capacity I do. So I try to learn as many tips and tricks as I can. There's a lot of really smart people here this week, and I honestly can't wait to get started here today.
Yeah, I'm going to be down there tomorrow for part of it, and looking forward to meeting so many good people that want to make sure education in this state is as strong as possible. Jimmy Koska, thanks for helping set it up. I'm sure we'll be talking more about these issues over time. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk to you a little later.
Take care, Pat. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Coming up next, State Senator Jeff Smith will join us. You're up north.
Slight feet up the street, bend your back. 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A powerful ice storm is moving in across Oregon, where more than 72,000 customers still have no electricity after a series of storms over the weekend. Pompey Chaudhary with Portland Power.
Ice and snow is getting accumulated on the power equipment that is causing heavy damages, and hence we're having some delay in getting the restoration work completed.
New report this morning from the American Cancer Society shows colon cancer is now the leading cause of cancer deaths in men under 50 and the second for women in the same age group. Missed screenings during the pandemic may be to blame. After a number one finish for Donald Trump in Iowa and second and third place finishes for DeSantis and Haley, respectively, the GOP presidential hopefuls have moved on to New Hampshire. CBS's Jared Hill.
Recent polling shows the former UN ambassador in a much tighter race with Trump here. A debate set for Thursday was canceled after Haley refused to take the stage without Trump, who skipped every debate so far.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Democratic law firm is asking the state Supreme Court to reconsider the state's congressional maps. The Elias Law Group filed the case on Tuesday. They say that last month's decision to draw new legislative maps warranted another look at the state's congressional maps. Republicans currently hold six of the state's congressional seats. The court will have to move fast with just 11 months to go before the November election. Marshfield Clinic workers across Wisconsin are being furloughed. 3% of the nearly 12,000 people who work for the healthcare system have to take unpaid time off. The furloughs come after a round of budget cuts in November and after talks about a merger with Essentia Health fell through last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Joy Engine salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights. His leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protests, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and much more. MLK led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Joy Engine with Civic Media in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 9 for a high this afternoon. It's still cold. The wind chill will be well below zero here for a good chunk of the day today. Tonight down to 4 below. Tomorrow a little sun early, then cloudy. High of 9 above. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 1 above.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 93.5, The Tap.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers
The growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Sarah Kayeski of Lodi talking about what motivates her to run for public office. She'll visit us along with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll talk to Luke Mathers, Joe Zbecki, all ahead Thursday morning on Up North News Radio. It continues to be a hazy shade of winter in the state capital as well, with recent events, some of them rather ominous and some of them rather promising. And so we'll talk about that with Jeff Smith. I don't want to, you know, toot my horn too much that I did too good a job as a state senator, but apparently I made it look so good that Jeff made the jump from assembly to state senate himself, and joins us now from Madison, where he serves from the town of Brunswick in Eau Claire County. Mr. Smith, how are you?
Well, you know, Pat, I always say this job is about about credit and blame, and looks like you're going to do both here.
That is what I do best, politicians and talk show hosts. So we've got a lot of ground to cover, some of it unexpected. I definitely wanted to have you on to talk about ranked choice voting and final five primaries. Also the new maps. You're part of a group that submitted a proposal for new maps. But the more current event is the ongoing assault by state Senate Republicans on democracy and the will of the voters, and against, allowing the person running the executive branch to choose their own appointees and nominees. And yet, for the 10th time now, Senate Republicans have taken action against one of Evers' appointees for baseless and partisan purposes. And I'm sure you did not have good things to say about Public Service Commission member Tyler Huebner being let go yesterday.
I did not. You know, we received a letter, in fact, from members of the Upper Midwest Utility Board, which he's a part of. I mean, it was talking about, I don't know how many states are involved, but I think it was 8 of commissioners who from different states, from Montana to Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, all over the country here, that signed a letter saying it would be a travesty for us to lose such an important and valuable commissioner. It's sad. It's not about quality. It's not about experience. It's simply about ideology with these guys.
Yeah, you referred to the quote that you gave that I saw in the Wisconsin Examiner, is that you called it as spiteful as it was stupid, because it is a stupid move from the standpoint of professional qualifications, and again, continues to make Wisconsin Republican lawmakers look small. Is there anything else that might be behind this besides just a power play against Governor Evers?
That's a really good question. You might going to have to get one of those fellas on your show and ask them and see if they can swear them to the truth. But it's possible. It has a lot to do with the fact that they still want to deny climate change, and they just don't appreciate the fact that somebody is actually preparing for the future, like Tyler was.
Yeah. What was that? At question, apparently, based on his confirmation hearing in committee recently, was unhappiness that the Public Service Commission was looking at a pilot project in making sure that low-income folks could afford their water bill, water being, I don't know, an essential quality of life thing, perhaps, and another that did involve concerns over a changing climate and reducing carbon dioxide emissions. And what we were hearing instead from Republicans was something along the lines of that the state, through the Public Service Commission, was moving too fast, was moving too quickly, as one of your Senate colleagues said, permitting so much wind and solar over a short time horizon without significant subsidies or regulatory changes. Now, we talked to somebody from Clean Wisconsin in our last hour who argued completely the opposite point. We're not moving too fast towards solar and wind. We're falling well behind our neighboring states when it comes to embracing renewable energies, Jeff.
We really are. It's short-sighted, but hey, Pat, you've been here. You know that the motto here, unspoken motto, is don't move too fast because you might work yourself out of a job. I don't know about this place.
Understandable. And, you know, another person who commented in the Senate, of course, was your colleague, State Senator Brad Paffram on Alaska, who should know because he was serving in Governor Evers' cabinet as the head of agriculture, trade and consumer protection before Republicans fired him because he dared, you know, question the work that Republicans were doing on behalf of farmers. So this is not something I think that's going to be diminished by exposure or by shame, but perhaps it can be diminished by new maps and by no longer protecting an extreme Republican majority. We're aware now that the state Supreme Court has declared the current maps unconstitutional. They asked all the parties in the case for proposals for new maps. That happened last Friday. You are part of one of those seven parties in the case. So tell us about basically what Senate Democrats did and turned in on Friday.
Well, we could have just taken the angle that the Republicans have done and did again with their maps, and that is a total partisan gerrymander. We could have done that, but no, what we really want in the end is something that works for everybody down the road, and that is a map that gets us back on track with the fairness and a toss-up Senate, a toss-up assembly, and make sure that the legislators that get elected earn their spot with the voters and answer to the voters. And we submitted a map that I really feel comfortable with that does just that. It is not a guarantee for one party or the other to get the majorities.
No, and of the seven parties that submitted maps, we talked to Professor Sam Wong yesterday from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project and noted that while the maps from Law Forward and from Governor Evers might have gone the furthest in terms of putting balance back toward, competitive races, the map that you and the other Senate Democrats turned in was actually a little bit closer to some of the Republican maps, which made me wonder aloud if your map is the one most likely to be chosen, because it looks like it is, you know, finding the middle ground in this issue.
Yeah, in fact, Pat, there were those in our side of the argument that were even a little perturbed that we didn't go further than we did. But I really believe that we needed to have something that the Supreme Court could take as a model for us. And it's really just the beginning. You got to remember that this is just putting us back on track so that from this point on, we need to adopt a new way we choose maps by 2031 and get this thing right.
Well, and reform is really the name of the game, reform overall, to have these competitive races. And this is not a surprise coming from you as somebody who had to work as hard as you did to win election in a Republican-leaning district. You have to have all these conversations with people about trying to find middle ground wherever possible, which takes us to this notion of changing the way that we vote and how that could maybe break the stranglehold of, you know, the two-party system on our elections. So talk to me for a minute about these proposals for final five primaries and for ranked choice voting. Do you want to start by telling me why you're even embracing any kind of a change like this?
Well, see, because Pat, as we talk about the maps and gerrymandering, that's just one step. There is not one single silver bullet that's going to save democracy, as we talk about a lot. So this is just another step. And we need to, so I just like to stress that final five voting is just what the phrase means. It's the final five people chosen in the primary, or candidates chosen in the primary, that make it to the general election, and that's when ranked choice voting takes place. We were bombarded in a Senate hearing with out-of-state lobbyists who came in to warn people, oh my God, it's a terrible idea, ranked choice voting. It's confusing for people. And, you know, they gave examples. For instance, one case where there were 35 candidates on the ballot and people had to rank 35 candidates. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an entirely different, you know, they actually made our case because we're talking about a primary that's open primary. You choose one, you make one choice in the primary, and then the top five move on to the general election, and then you rank those five, and your vote is going to count throughout the process if you actually choose one through five.
I want to go back to the notion of the primary field, because I'm sure people right now say, well, how often do you have, you know, five or more candidates in a primary? And I would contend the answer is, well, probably not that much, because, you know, like one candidate tends to be the preferred of one party, maybe two candidates, three at most. Whereas if you had something that's much more open, where you don't have to be the favorite of party bosses, either Democratic or Republican, you can just make your own best case, and that might encourage more people to run for office. And then again, you vote for one in the primary, and then the top five go on to the general, where you then, in those cases in November, you'd rank those five candidates one through five. You don't have to rank all of them, but then tell me if I'm doing this right, Jeff, you after everybody's voted and put their rankings, whoever comes in fifth after the first time you count all the votes, they're eliminated. And all those voters, you then look at who do they choose as their second choice and allocate those votes accordingly. And you keep going until somebody has actual majority support. And that's how important is that to have a final winner that has a degree of majority support?
I think that's really important. And your first point is exactly the case that I make all the time, Pat. It's going to encourage more people to step up and run for election. You know how it is to talk to really qualified and impassioned people and try to convince them that they should run for office. And they say, well, what's the use? It's as much a problem with voters. Why should they vote? What's the use? Right. So I think we're going to get greater participation in both running for office and in voting when you have a system like this.
What we have here is there are people who are very proud Democrats and very proud Republicans, dues-paying members of their local parties. It's not that anybody, you know, doesn't want to be Democratic or Republican anymore, but what do we always hear, Jeff, in some of these races? Oh, so-and-so is the anointed candidate. You know, this is the one the party leaders want. And this enables everyday folks who are Democratic, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, Green, whatever the case may be, to get in and make their own best case. There's still going to be Republicans and Democrats, but I would contend you've got a group of people who are then going to talk to each other across the aisle better once they get elected.
And, you know, one thing the parties will find out is that they're going to have that hidden gem that they didn't realize was out there, who's going to step up. And they're going to be glad they didn't have this chosen anointed candidate out there. It's, you know, the harder a person has to work to get elected, of course, I have to, you know, maybe pat my own back here, but the harder you have to work to get elected, the more likely you're going to be a good representative of the people you're serving.
Do I understand correctly that this is much like the smoking ban was for us, you know, way, way back when? Is this a fairly nonpartisan, bipartisan thing? Are there clearly Democrats and Republicans both for and against this?
There is. That is really true. I think even in the committees, I was impressed by the questions that were asked. Obviously, there were one or two that were set against it, and there were one or two that were, you know, I have to think about this. I might have to think about this. And I think that's really an important step. And you know, Pat, too, you don't get things done in one session or maybe two sessions. It takes sometimes a big idea like this, a few go-rounds before people really rally around it. I mean legislators.
I got to say, though, and I hope some of my old colleagues don't take this the wrong way, there's something downright refreshing at times when an issue doesn't, you know, go along neat party lines, and you can build those coalitions across the aisle where you still have your party values. But some issues don't lend themselves to that, and it's actually really refreshing, and I think the voters would like to see a bit more of that as well. State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick, thank you very much for getting up early with us. I know you got a busy day ahead at the Capitol, but good to see you again. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Pat. Have a good one.
All right, you as well. Coming up next, Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show to wrap up things on a Wednesday morning here on Up North News Radio. Back in just a bit.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
93.5 The Tap.
All right, here. I like that despite trashing the Bengals all morning for Susanna Hoff's birthday, Greg is still happy to dance along. When the music comes up.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and listen to this whole episode again, and I will try to find one moment where I'm trashing the Bengals. I would never trash them. They're an amazing pop group led by Susanna Hoffs, who's still recording and writing today. Whatever.
Great. It's Greg's second day back from vacation, and we're still getting into the rhythm and the flow here. So we'll hi, Todd. Yeah, see what I mean? Good morning, Mr. Alba. How are you?
I'm well. Greg, welcome back. Pat, good to see you. We got, for those watching on the stream on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, a new logo. It looks fantastic for the show. Congrats.
Yeah, we're rebranding. I guess is what it is. I don't know. You were saying something yesterday about in the studio there in Madison. Was there some new artwork or new show logos?
Oh yeah, like that? Rebecca, our graphics marketing person, got a new soundboard. It's to absorb the sound in Mr. Sommer or the production studio. So you know, so he actually has some artwork behind him now. So yeah,
we got some stuff here too.
Right. Yeah, yes. Rebecca did all that behind Greg, so it looks fantastic. Nicely done, Rebecca, and the marketing team, Jorge, everybody.
Well, again, that's a nice looking one too. It's Greg showing all around the studio there. I'm looking forward to seeing that later this week. Finally getting inside the palatial studios of the show and WAUK to see where all the magic happens, and to finally meet the legend Jane Matinair after listening to her on radio for decades.
You've never met her?
Not in person. I'm going to be a little starstruck. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ouch. Well, the first time I went to Waukesha was about a week before our show went on the air, and Kristen Bry was there, of course, doing As Goes Wisconsin with Jane, and Earl Ingram was finishing up his show, and I walked in, and the Waukesha studio had some vandalism, and so I was sent down to get this, be the security guard, and to like just watch the door. And you? So I walked in and I brought donuts. I thought, well, this would be nice. I'll bring donuts just to say I'm sorry and cheer people up. So I brought, and Earl comes out from his show and he looks at the donuts and he goes, oh, this is great. He goes, so why are you here? And I said, well, they sent me down to be the security. And he laughed and he goes, no, seriously, why are you here? And that's how I met Earl. And Kristen and Jane. So yeah.
I know. Well, I finally get to shake Mr. Bach's hand, you know, in person. We haven't done that yet either. So that's the thing about this whole work from home, you know, statewide network spread out. I've been working with some people through Courier Newsroom for 4 years now, and you know, we're all over the country. And you know, the one or two times that the Courier Newsroom folks, much like the Civic Media folks, have tried to get a lot of people in a room, you know what happened after that?
COVID
and other crud ended up spreading. So I've been very happy to stay up here in Chippewa Falls for now. But hey, today on the show, of course, you'll be talking with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where you were planning to start the show, but based on what I saw this morning, I can't wait to thank him for the video spoof that they created over people who are sharing this video about how God made Trump, because they took Paul Harvey's legendary God Made a Farmer and they tried to basically pervert it into, you know, and God made Trump. And the Lincoln Project has responded with its own ad, and you'd swear it's Paul Harvey because AI is so good these days. And it's called "And God Made a Dictator." And if you haven't looked online for it, it is so good.
Yeah, that's the work of Rick Wilson over at the Lincoln Project. I know he and Trigvi worked on that a little bit together. I have not seen it yet. I only saw like the first opening 10 seconds. I got to watch the entire thing. But I mean, they do great work. And I think that we'll talk with you as well, Pat, assuming you'll join us, be so kind as to do that. We always appreciate it.
I guess. Sure.
Well, thank you. But I, you know, it's no surprise, obviously, that Trump won Iowa. It's only 100,000 people. You know, it's a small sample. But to me, what's more interesting and important is the Republicans, you know, like Marco Rubio, like Mike Lee of Utah, all these folks lining up and endorsing Trump already. And for all intent and purposes, the Republican primary is probably over unless Nikki Haley can somehow surprise North Carolina or in New Hampshire and then pull off a couple other ones. So, and I think if you listen to Trump on his after he was declared the victor in Iowa, he sounded a little more normal. And quite frankly, that concerns me because I think that a lot of folks, including a lot of mainstream media, are going to begin to once again normalize Trump. But I think it's important just to continue to point out the facts. We don't have to make anything up, right? Just tell, hey, look, 91 indictments, the guy's a convicted rapist, the guy was part of an insurrection as declared by Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, former Republicans. Go right down the list. I think it's just as we move forward through 2024, let's stick to the facts, remind people what the choice probably is going to be in November, Trump versus Biden.
And by the way, let's not forget how this all got started with Republicans saying they were against Trump, but then quickly taking a knee and kissing the ring. Scott Walker, he was, you know, supposed to be the golden boy, but Trump comes in and Walker's presidential campaign lasted 71 days or something like that. And when he got out, he was warning people saying, you know, we need to reduce this field, you know, because otherwise Donald Trump is going to go right through it. Well, of course he did, and you know, there was Scott Walker right with everybody else, quick to bless him rather than to continue to work to purge their party of, you know, folks who would be that, you know, corrupt, immoral, and anti-small-D Democratic.
And this is going to be the question for Republicans, whether it's in Lake Wissota or Antigo or Richland Center or Wausau, wherever, is if you're voting Republican for your district attorney or your sheriff, you know, I get that. But are those really the same kind of Republicans as Scott Walker, as you just said, or Derek Van Orten, who spent the week down in Iowa campaigning for Donald Trump and embracing this guy? Oh, look, Derek Van Orten was at the insurrection. He put photos on his Facebook page.
Derek Van Orten is talking about how Trump is going to be looking out for your family, the way he looks out for his. And people right away posted, which one? Which of Trump's families? With his first wife? With his second wife? With his third? I mean, who thinks he's Mr. Family Values over here? Well, obviously nobody, but they're trying to talk a good game and fool just enough folks. Yeah. So needless to say,
we shall see.
More than a little bit of fodder for Mr. Alba and his program coming up noon to 2 all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then I'll see you down there sometime on Friday as well. Looking forward to it.
On Thursday, actually. I think we're going to be on the show Thursday
at that conference. That's right.
Tomorrow,
Milwaukee.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Live from Milwaukee is Pat and Todd.
Oh, boy. They just let us go everywhere, don't they? All right. Have a great day. We'll see you at noon
today. You guys too. Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thank you, Greg, and thanks to all of you for being here again tomorrow. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will continue her series of talking to women who are stepping up and trying to make a difference in their community, including Sarah Kayeski of Lodi, who is making a run for public office. Luke Mathers and Joe Zepecki are all part of it as well. Thanks for being part of what we do today. Have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 6.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A new study